This is the very first single released by British singer-songwriter Donovan in 1965 from his debut album, What's Been Did and What's Been Hid. I love that name, and we are discussing What's Been Hid here on Coast to Coast AM with Ali Siadatan as it pertains to the modern-day UFO, ET, alien abduction phenomena. And what he sees as really the re-emergence of the Nephilim described in the Old Testament. We'll get back to that conversation in mere moments. Let me invite you to get on up to my website, strangeplanet.ca. And it's really just, it's a landing page, your portal, if you will, to most of my activities, including my syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, which airs right here in Toronto Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern. And that's on Zoomer Radio. And if you're not in the Zoomer Radio listening area, which is huge, it's a very large broadcast footprint, but you can also catch the show on the Conspiracy Show app, which is a free download from Google, Google Play and iTunes. You can also listen in on the Zoomer Radio app, which is also a free download. Again, the website is strangeplanet.ca. And please say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T, at Richard Serrett. Back to my conversation with Ali Siadatan. The documentary film is UFOs, Angels, and Gods, and you can view that right now at thinkagainproductions.com. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Coast AM. Ali Siadatan is with us. thinkagainproductions.com. You can screen his documentary film, UFOs, Angels, and Gods, right there. So if we look at the modern-day UFO phenomenon through the biblical lens, you are saying, in a nutshell, it is essentially a deception. It is the re-emergence of the Nephilim, the fallen angels. It is a replay. We've seen this movie before. The first time around we heard about it was Genesis, the Book of Enoch, the fallen angels commingling with the daughters of men. But my understanding, a limited understanding of the Old Testament, is that the Great Flood, the worldwide flood, was perhaps engineered by God in order to cleanse the gene pool, if you will, and Noah and his family representing the last pure bloodline that did not contain any genetic or alien, or I won't say alien, I'll say genetic component from the Nephilim. So if that's the case, then didn't the flood essentially wipe the slate clean?
Well, it says that they, in the same passage where it tells us that the flood came to take care of them, as you're saying, it says that they were on the earth then and afterwards. And then throughout the Bible, we hear more about them. They are there where Abraham fights certain tribes of the Nephilim and defeats them. And rescues his nephew Lot. Later on, we see them as the sons of Israel come out of Mizraim or Egypt, and they walk into this land. And there are all these tribes there of the Nephilim, that's translated as giants in the English Bible, because Jerome, who translated the Bible from Hebrew and Greek into the Vulgate, into the Latin spoken by everyday Romans, not the classical high literature Latin, but the Latin of the people, the Vulgate, the book that became the foundation of Western civilization and was the most used Bible ever in the history of Christianity. Its influence far greater than the King James Version of the Bible. In that book, he translates Nephilim to gigantus, and that is how we get giants. And the tale of these beings have been handed down by all of our ancestors, and it says it happened then and afterwards. They come to this land, they go to the tribes that are the Nephilim, and they send spies. The spies come back and they say, well, we're too afraid to take home the sons of Anak, the Anakim, the Zanzamim, the Raphaim. They are, who can take them? And so they are in the land, but it has a different purpose. This time they're there because, as God reveals his plans by telling Abraham the boundaries of the land, Satan puts pitfalls. They come there and they can't go in because he's planted again these weeds. It's a very interesting parable that Jesus tells when he says that God came and planted his seeds in a garden. And you know, so someone comes and plants a seed in the garden, and then while he's sleeping, someone else comes and plants his seeds in the same garden. And this is a parable of the wheat and the tares. Later on, Jesus explains to his disciples that the first gardener is God, and who plants his seeds in the garden, and then the devil comes and plants his seeds, and the servants are the angels, and they ask the question, should we go and take his seeds out because it has resulted in tares? Now, what's interesting is that Jesus is speaking into a concept that existed in their, they had wheats and tares, and the book of Leviticus talks about the farming procedures, and the word for tares was zunim in Hebrew, or zonim, and in the Greek, in the New Testament, zizanion. And this was interesting. In Jewish thought, that the tares were modified wheat. They were modified wheat, so when they came, they saw these other growths as modified wheat in Jewish thinking. So there's something that is modified in order to create something else, and the Goliath. It says that Goliath was one of the descendants of the Nephilim. So by that time, what we're seeing is that they are getting hired as mercenaries. There's other extra-biblical writings that tell us how the human tribes would hire tribes of Nephilim, and I suspect that Goliath and his four brothers were champions for the hire, and they had been hired by the Philistines in order to shift the balance of power to their side, or perhaps they were now grafted into the Philistines because they were the descendants of the Nephilim. So there has been this grafting of these two of genes going back to the time before the flood, but also afterwards. Throughout the ages, Hercules was the son of Zeus. Even Alexander the Great, we are told, was the son of Zeus. Satan says to Jesus that all the kingdoms of the earth are under his dominion, and he can give them to whoever he wants. And so there is this question of power being passed down, going back to the first kings of Mesopotamia, who received their power from the gods. And there's the priest king, and then that's the story of Israel. God comes and says, you know, this will be my anointed king, and this is my priesthood. And apparently Jesus brings the two together, and he's a king and a priest. So there is this setting up of power structures, of the laws giving, of knowledge coming to us, is all of this just story? Well, for me, the Bible adds up together. It's history, the way it tells us things happened in the past, where it is going. It's spiritual teaching in the heart of it, where connection with God can happen through Jesus Christ, through Yeshua, HaMashiach, as the Jews call him. And I have experienced in my own spiritual journey that my void was filled, and I felt the presence of God and was invited in the presence of the Father when my sins were atoned for. I didn't understand that was happening when I accepted this and had a test to see whether it would actually bring me closer to God, or was it just another religion?
Okay, but this biblical lens that you're using certainly makes sense to me in one respect, in many respects, but here's one in particular. And I was always troubled as a young person reading in the Old Testament how God ordered the Israelites to go into village after village and smite. There was a whole lot of smiting going on in the Old Testament, and I thought, yeah, Wow, that's a really vengeful, jealous God,
right?
Ordering every man, woman, and child to be killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're saying if we understand this in the context that these villages were in fact occupied by Nephilim. These were human demon hybrids in essence.
Yes. When you go back to the book of Genesis, where God says that he will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the nachash, the seed of the serpent. In our documentary, we presented the idea that, yes, the seed of the serpent was the coming world leader who was the leader of these Nephilim, who was a Nephilim, a hybrid of Satan himself, and that is where the tale is going. And many other thinkers have independently, you know, pointed to the same idea, such as Elie Marzulli. However, You can also look at it historically, that it is talking about a historical event. There is a Satan back then in the Garden of Eden. There is an Eve, and she is a woman, and she's going to be the mother of an entire race, like the Ham is the father of the Ham tribe, or Israel, the father of the Jews. Eve is going to be the mother of a people. And she, and this seed of the serpent can also be seen as historically, that over and over again the seed of the serpent has been infused into the human race. And if these guys, such as Goliath, who are the descendants of the Nephilim, were now taking wives, human wives, and having children, this infiltration of the tares into the wheat is something that's been going on for a long time. I think now, I theorize now, that perhaps the people who get abducted, and I don't know this for a fact, this is just a conjecture, are somehow bearing inside of them the genes of these older Nephilim contaminations. That is why they are more easily, genetic material can be drawn from them, and it's more compatible readily. It's like there's a stock, a genetic stock to draw from, that maybe more quickly can be fused into their own genes. These abductees provide the genes because perhaps they have in them the genes of the Nephilim of old.
Nick Redfern recently penned a book titled Bloodline of the Gods, and he points out a very peculiar fact, and that is that about 15% of humans are Rh negative. Their blood is Rh negative, which I failed biology, but what I think it means is it has to do with a protein marker. Most of us, if Darwin is right, and I know that he would disagree with this, but we should all contain this Rh protein marker because it's present in rhesus monkeys, for example.
Right.
So if Darwin is right, then we should all be, 100% of human race should be have this Rh marker. But
right.
15%, which is, you know, it's a small number, but 15% are Rh negative.
Okay.
So his contention is that perhaps this alien abduction phenomenon has something to do with this Rh negative factor.
Right.
What do you think of that?
Sure. I mean, it's absolutely possible. If you want to look at these guys as aliens that come to the Earth and they're somehow here to do something, what is it exactly they're doing? Why are they doing this? That they evolved somewhere else, some other mud. They began as a unicell creatures and evolved, and they're more advanced technologically and even spiritually from us somehow, and morally, and they're just, you know, the Jimmy Jam, and they've arrived. Sure, I mean that is a possibility. If in fact things happen and grow in the Earth that way, and in the whole universe, now we know evolution is true here and elsewhere. That is the perspective. If this is all true, then sure, it's someone's opinion. However, what we're hearing here in the Bible is that it talks about real countries that exist to this day in the world. And it tells a story that adds up, and then the collective ancestors of the human race speak with great deference and respect to these gods who are the sources of knowledge. So why listen to this perspective over another? Well, everyone has to make a choice, but it's or a paradigm that is, from a creationist point of view, God has entered the universe, has created time and space, and in it he is here having this story with these Elohim, and he's in the heart of them, and we're one of them. And hey, it all adds up. This is our history. Why not? Why not think that God has not kept us in the dark? Why not believe that there is meaning given to life from the beginning? It has been there. Well, I would argue because there is a veil that has also been cast, and as the nations grow, and we go past the Garden of Eden, the serpent continues to decree his own laws and his own opinions into the human world. And I think that it alters our view of reality, that this is our history, we've been given it, but now we have these alternative perspectives. I mean, you look at the American dollar bill, and there is that very mysterious sign of the pyramid and the eye on it that goes back to Egypt and the sun god Ra. This symbol, underneath it, it says, Novus Secularum Orderum, the new secular order, or Novus Orderum Secularum, the new secular order. Sure, the Republic is a secular experiment, but it is a worldview-giving machine, and it alters our worldview. So there is here, past the Garden of Eden, as we multiply, in entire systems are created to continue to influence the human mind. And this is one of the most important programs that we discovered, in addition to the program to create Nephilim, the program to pump alternative information worldviews and alter reality. Meanwhile, God also has something to say, and he says, well, let me just tell you guys what's going on this planet so you can be comforted.
And all right, I think you lit on something important that we need to sort of drill down on, and that is the purpose of the alien abduction phenomenon. And if it mirrors what happened in the Old Testament and involving the fallen angels commingling with the daughters of men. So what then is the purpose of this modern day alien abduction phenomenon? Is it to create another race of Nephilim? Is it to raise an army for Satan for the end times? What's the point?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've now been, looking at that. I started looking at it in the mid 1990s. There's many people who've been looking at it longer. I think that when we're looking at the percentage, of course, we know we have Dr. Jacobs' research, which is very good, and we're very blessed and lucky to have a person, perhaps God has selected someone, to have such a scientific and secular and empirical view, and that makes his research, I think, very valuable. What he's discovered is that 5 to 6% of the American people are talking about stories that clearly he would recognize as abduction tales. And it's a worldwide phenomenon. In China, UFO groups have millions of people in them. He receives emails from all around the world. It's a worldwide phenomenon. So the number of people that are getting abducted could be 500 million, and from each one, a multitude of hybrids is generated. So this is more than just some sort of 10 kings and one that will rule them all. This is not just a creation of a seed of the serpent, as in one guy, the Antichrist, and then a few guys around him. This is much larger than that, as we're now seeing it unfold. So yes, it is like Jesus said, in the days of Noah, it would be like the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, as you mentioned, the entire human race was contaminated other than a single person. So the infiltration was very deep. So this is the reemergence of a race. Now, not just, to what end? Well, there's a power structure. It's not just a power structure. It's a race. A race that apparently is taking the genes of those who are made in the image of God and using them to graft them into your own revolution. And if the Bible in its angelology and demonology is revealing to us the ambitions of these aliens, what is in their hearts and minds, who are they? Well, there is this guy, apparently, and his ambition is to ascend above the stars of God, which is an idiom for the angels of God, and to be like the Most High. And that is why they set up themselves as objects of worship, because their ambition is to be worshipped in the
what happens, world. Ali, what happens to a God-fearing individual who may be Christian, and they are abducted against their will, presumably, and now have, some would call it alien DNA or alien blood in them. So are they now condemned? How does one, protect oneself from this? I mean, it's not a question of knowingly or willingly, following Satan or these fallen angels. You're taken against your will. You're abducted.
Yes.
What choice do we have?
Yes, it's a very interesting question that God has allowed a portion of humanity to undergo this. There is a portion of humanity right now that has been given power. These people have been given power to do this with a portion of humanity. But we see in the book of Job that God puts limits on Satan, says, you know what, destroy everything he's got, but leave his life, and don't touch him. Okay,
all right, I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to jump in here, Ali. We'll get you to finish up this thought on the other side. Ali Siadatan, Think Again Productions. The documentary film is UFOs, Angels and Gods. My name is Richard Serrett. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. This song was actually written by Randy Newman. Mama Told Me Not to Come, and of course it was covered by Three Dog Night. That's probably the most famous recording from 1970 from their It Ain't Easy album. But this is a version by Wilson Pickett, and for my money, it's the best one out there. Mama Told Me Not to Come. We'll get back to our conversation with Ali Sianatan, documentary filmmaker, UFOs, Angels, and Gods. We'll also find out about his upcoming documentary, Goliath Rising, which features an extensive interview with Dr. David Jacobs, who has really sort of assumed the mantle in terms of the alien abduction phenomena research from the likes of the late John Mack, Dr. John Mack, and Bud Hopkins. ParanormalDate.com. Find your match who shares an interest in the paranormal, science, life after death, ghost stories, Bigfoot, UFOs, alternative medicine, and conspiracy theories. If you're a fan of Coast to Coast AM and wonder who might else be out there listening to this show and how you can meet them, here's your opportunity. ParanormalDate.com has arrived. It's really easy to join. Just sign on to ParanormalDate.com. You can peruse for free. And then, if you want to upgrade to premium features, use simply the, all you need to do is simply type in the promo code GEORGE for an initial 50% discount. ParanormalDate.com. You are not alone. We'll get back to UFOs, Angels, and Gods in mere moments right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett with you, coming to you from Coast Toronto Affiliate Talk Radio AM 640. Ali Sianatan, documentary filmmaker, and the film is UFOs, Angels, and Gods, which is available for viewing at the website thinkagainproductions.com. The whole UFO phenomena has really sort of morphed into kind of a New Age religion. I mean, there is a sizable portion of the population out there that believes that ETs are like knights in shining armor, coming to our rescue, that they really started to show up in significant numbers in the modern era, post-1947, or at least certainly the emergence of the nuclear age, that they came here when we started to detonate H-bombs because they were concerned for our own personal safety. When did that, I mean, are you concerned? Let me ask you first. Are you concerned about the sort of the religious, almost religious fervor associated with UFOs and ETs?
Well, I think since I believe that throughout the ages, the fallen angels wear different masks, but they always like to be influencers and to be objects of worship, and to give messages to us. This is just a continuation of their MO, but they are now putting on the modern mask of, you know, we're aliens, we're UFOs in the scientific era. This is how, of course, we are to be seen. I find it very interesting that, as you say, an entire explanation has been created and repeated for the past 50 years, for the past 60 years, that these beings were concerned about the Hiroshima and Nagasaki explosions. They're completely humanized. Somehow we know, of course, what brought them, because they were as enlightened as the most enlightened of us. And they thought, oh no, these guys are about to enter the galactic family, and they can bring these warlike ways to us. The first time that I've apparently, this has been said, goes back to 1949, where Professor George Valley, who is sitting on as a member of the Air Force Scientific Advisory Board, in a top-secret report, he tells the Pentagon his theory about alien civilization. He says, such a civilization might observe that on Earth we now have atomic bombs and are fast developing rockets. In view of the past history of mankind, they should be alarmed. We should therefore expect at this time, above all, to behold such visitations. Was this guy an abductee? Did they take neurological control of his head? And did they put this idea in his mind? I don't know, because that is what we're seeing, is that the abductions involve intense neurological control, where ideas are spoken to you, So where did this come from? But it has grown to become the main idea of ufology, and the X-Files recently has become the mouthpiece of this school of thinking. It's saying now very broadly, very clearly that yes, this is why they have arrived, guys, and all that nasty abduction stuff, well, actually that's being handled by humans themselves. It has nothing to do with these great, you know, older brothers. So this is a story that is weaving, and it does concern me if the story of the Bible is true, and we are inside of a much larger tale, that we are in the galaxies living this much larger tale as cosmic and galactic beings, and we have always been such. And if that's the case, then this is another deception where an idea is being put out there. Why? Well, it suggests that somehow they've come to save us. There is something about the message from the beginning that says the saviors of the earth have arrived. They are technological, they are enlightened, and they're going to save us, and they're going to give us the technology we need to resolve poverty and hunger, and everyone will have drinking water, and everything will be great, and global warming. I mean, that is the central message. It's ironic. I don't have any perspectives of conspiracy over whether the idea of global warming is a conspiracy or not. That is not what I'm addressing. But from the beginning, there's a heartbeat that the message somehow that is broadcast in the minds of people. Recently, I was just watching in 1994 the school in Africa where all those children had a UFO sighting. Even they were saying that when they looked into these big black eyes, what flashed was ideas about cataclysmic events in the environment. So there is this idea being pumped that there's going to be cataclysmic events, and the environment is going to be a part of it, and we are here to rescue you. That is kind of a heartbeat. However, there is an organic process. They're creating hybrids, and they're organically training them for specific purposes that we're yet to find out. And now they're infiltrating human society. So definitely this is very different from what we read in the past texts about the Nephilim. And I think that there's no reason not to believe that we can't take as guide this document. Why are they doing this? Yes.
Well, one of the things that I'm kind of torn about the whole, you know, connection between the emergence of the modern day UFO era post 1947 with Roswell and or Kenneth Arnold and so forth, and connecting it with, you know, the detonation of an atomic weapon, because to me that would be akin to if we're talking about extraterrestrials, and they are light years away, it would be like me lighting a match here in Toronto and expecting someone in Islamabad to take notice. I mean, that's sort of the analogy that I would use.
Man-made idea, and that's important. Men are people who don't even know where they are, because the universe, we don't know where the universe is. We can't even see the back of our own heads. It is a man-made idea. Here we have a story that tells us that, you know, God is not done with the earth, with this race that he planted on this earth and this story that he foretold beforehand. And that somehow there will come a time where God will gather this nation who he assigns a central role to in his creation and walks among us as one of them, that this nation will be gathered and brought back to its national homeland. And so the recreation of Israel, as controversial as it may be, as defining as it has been to the history of the Middle East and to the world through the system of alliances and structures and deep-held beliefs, this event perhaps has hurled a time where suddenly so many of the prophecies of the Bible can once again, and for the first time in history, be taken literally. Concerning wars in the Middle East, concerning the reality of this country in the Middle East, and somehow the re-emergence of the Nephilim, because we are told that there was going to be a commingling of seeds in the final empire. This is something we see in the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, the dream that God gives to the king of Babylon concerning the empires that will rule the earth, and the last empire, which I believe now is a fifth empire, not a reemergence of the Roman Empire or the reemergence of the Ottoman Caliphate, but its own empire is definitely one that has a very much a Nephilim connection. Now, why do we believe that? Because the Bible's prophecies talk about this and talk about the seed of serpent and talk about a throne that Satan apparently gives power to this one character. And we are told in Paul's writings that he will do miracles and he will make fire come from the sky. So there is definitely the idea of the emergence of a power structure. But beyond that, I think Satan's ambitions is that he's creating a race and their abductees who they control. And this race will usher in a new era, defeat the Messiah, and move forward a revolution into the universe, into the very throne room of God. His mad ambition, and we are caught in this crazy story just because we were born on this planet.
Okay, let
this
me
is our history.
Let me see if I understand this. So if we understand the alien abduction phenomena as a reemergence of the Nephilim or the fallen angels from biblical times, I understand during the Old Testament and even the New Testament why or how the fallen angels were trying to forestall the arrival of the Savior,
yes.
Contaminate the human gene pool,
right?
In order to prevent
Mary.
God from becoming incarnate here on Earth. But spell it out for me in simple terms, then why the re-emergence of the Nephilim coinciding with the birth of modern-day Israel in 1947-48?
You can think of it as Satan's last stand. The wheat and the tares are about to be separated, and the tares burnt and the wheat put in the garden of God, in the warehouses of God. Think of it as the culmination of a story that began in the Garden of Eden, and this is Satan's last stand, the emergence of a Nephilim contamination at the scale of the pre-flood, which was massive, as you say. They were all contaminated other than Noah. So it was a massive contamination with a power structure at the heart of it, and Satan giving his power to this last, his throne to hit this last character, who we are told the Messiah will destroy at his coming. And who is the Messiah? Well, he is one who walked among us. He's a human as well. He's the son of King David, who is a Jew, is Jewish. And he apparently is one of the Elohim, and he is the El of the Elohim, the God of the gods. And he exists in the Old Testament. He walks among us. And this story could be very much happening in the galaxies and beyond. So why are they creating this race? I think the idea is a revolution. Now, how can Satan see it this way? Well, if these guys are fallen angels, or at least one contingency, a program, of a section of them that has been given the task to create these hybrids, because everything on the spaceships apparently is about the creation of hybrids. The beds are the human size for abductees. If these guys are, in fact, of one of the cohorts of the fallen angels, their society seems to be very logical, task-oriented, and law-based. They often ask even about the religions, which religion has the best laws? They ask the abductees, am I allowed to touch the television? Am I allowed to touch the computer? What are the rules concerning television watching? What are the rules concerning the various aspects of human society? They seem to be very task-oriented, very need to know. These are not the most brilliant, at least not the ones that Jacobs is seeing. These are not like Einsteins walking among us.
You're saying they want to know because they want to fit in.
Well, they are very clearly in the process of educating themselves. From they are born, they play with human children. Children are abducted as, and their task with children abductees is to play with children, hybrids or hybrids. And they learn about human emotions through procedures that are very interesting that we cover in our documentary. And they then begin to want to know about how to music works, so how to dress themselves, how to dance. And eventually we're now seeing that they're walking among us. The abduction sequence, the neurological control, no longer necessarily happens in a spaceship. People are not taken up. They remain in their homes, in their cities, and suddenly they're under this control, and they're taken for a ride. They are taken to a convenience store. The hybrid, the late-stage hybrid, looks very human, wants to learn how to purchase something at a convenience store, how to pay for it, how to decorate a home. Did I decorate my home properly? So what the abductees are reporting is that they are in clusters. They are living in clusters of two or three. They're in their late teens and early 20s. Now, when David Jacobs releases this research in 2015, he's referencing research that's 10 years old in his book. So these guys would now be in their late 20s and early 30s. They'd be Generation Xers. So what we're seeing here is that there is an organic infiltration, much like the parable of the wheat and the tares. Something is pushing into the human world. They're born, they're raised, they're come to fruition in a laboratory, in a test tube, and then they learn, and now they're walking among us. It's reported that they go to work. Some of the people they abduct and put under neurological control are professionals, and now they are at their workplace. They're not necessarily working there. They maybe tell the guy, hey, look, just tell your boss or somebody, I'm an intern. And now they're learning what this guy knows and how his work operates, because they can telepathically consume information. It's very interesting, this organic putting in. Will some of them rise to places of influence, of power? What's going to exactly happen? These are things that we have to see, but there is a purpose. There is a mind behind this. And the Bible does talk about the reemergence of the Nephilim at this mass level, and talks about it leading eventually to a confrontation.
Does Dr. Jacobs, in his research, or do you in your film, UFOs, Angels, and Gods, offer any hints as to how one might be able to identify a human alien hybrid, if I can use the term alien?
That's a very good question. He doesn't have an idea. I have thought about asking him that question myself. My personal perspective is look into the eyes. I think that their eyes would be very distinctive. It seems that eyes are seen as pathways to the mind, and they're very much into affecting the nerves of the mind and using the eyes as a pathway. I think their eyes would be very distinct. I believe I once looked into the eyes of such a person, and their eyes were like a wall that I could not pierce this wall and look into their eyes the way that I can softly pierce human eyes and look into them. So that was interesting. So the eyes, perhaps their energy is different, perhaps their aura is different. If you're sensitive in that way, you might feel something. Their vibes, so to speak, might be different. But other than that, they look just like us. And the abductees talk about these guys also having sexual relationships, having sex with men, having sex with women. A lot of them are men having sex with women. Why are they doing that? Can they procreate? We don't know. So we're just watching the integration of these guys. Once they become independent and they can live independently, the abductee no longer sees them. Their job is finally done and their integration is full. But I assume they live in apartments, they go to gyms, and they're waiting for the signal to be given. That is something that we hear. And it's very important, once I realized that knowledge had come into the human world from these extra sources, that knowledge had come into the human world from God, and that knowledge had come into the human world from the gods whom the Bible tells us were the fallen angels, and then human knowledge. Man himself had knowledge that came out of his own mind. And these three forms of knowledge are the source of all knowledge. And as these knowledges mingle together, a fourth form of knowledge was created, which is the result of the mingling. So the messages of the gods or of the aliens are important to study, because we are told that Satan deceives the nations. And we see from the time of Eve and from the time of the religions that the gods set up that they create powerful message-creating machines. And so the messages of the modern-day UFO phenomena are interesting, because they tell us that the saviors have arrived. Somehow, even the abductees are being trained, some of them, in telepathy, in telekinesis, in piloting ships. And they are told the signal will be given. So there is a third phase to this project. It's not just about hybrid creation and integration. There is a third phase. It is one day, I don't know, they rise to power, I guess, a signal will be given. So again, the Bible tells us, since we see that the prophecies of the Bible come true, I mean, study the history of Israel in the ancient world, I have no quarrels with who God chooses for what. I can only repeat the tale that I'm reading. And what I am seeing is that it adds up. And so if this is true, then these guys are setting up shop to be behind this one whom their leader empowers, and maybe he performs his miracles by the use of these ships.
All right, listen, I got to jump in, Ali. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. And when we do come back, we'll open up the phone lines. Questions and comments for Ali Siadatan. Think Again Productions. Here's Van the Man Morrison, the Bard of Belfast.